Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome in the name of our good Lord Jesus. It's lovely to see you all here today. Just to bring to your attention that following the service today, we'll be having a short church meeting. You're welcome to stay whether you're a member of the church or not, but if you want to slip away, I'll give you the opportunity to do so. You can either make your way home, or there will be tea and coffee out the back, but I will give you a moment to sort yourselves out at the end of the service. But also, it's a busy Sunday because we have an evening service, so if you're available to come back at 6 o'clock this evening for evening praise. We continue to follow Tim Keller's The Gospel in Every Book of the Bible. The rest of the notices are on the sheet for you, so do take those away. And remember to be praying with us, with some of those prayers on the back and the prayer lists towards the bottom on the front as well. Well, let's just take a moment, shall we, to gather ourselves as we come to the Lord in prayer. Let's have a time of quiet, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Loving Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've gathered us together in your name in this place. May we leave outside those things that distract, that lead us away from you. And may we this morning focus entirely on you and your word. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come among us, that you would speak to us, Lord, and that you would transform us, Lord, into the creation that you wanted us to be. And so, Lord, as we open your words, as we lift our prayers and our praise to you, we pray, Lord, that this would be a time of blessed communion with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing together then, shall we, as we sing, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, which is number 5 if you're following in Baptist Praise and Worship. The words will be on the screen also. Be still for the presence of the Thank you. Well, I wonder, have you ever gone out for a nighttime walk without a torch? It can be quite a surprise at how dark everywhere is when you first step out. We have somewhere where we go on holiday often, near Hampstead Forest up in the county of Durham. And we love this place because it's in the middle of nowhere. But when it comes to everyone's in bed, the dog needs to be let out. And I always take a deep breath as I open the door, and it's absolute pitch darkness as you go out, and you can't see a thing. But actually, as your eyes adjust, you realise that even the light of a twinkling star in a cloudy sky actually starts to shine light in different places, and you can start to see more and more. And by the time the dog's finished doing her business, she comes back in and I can see right to the end of the field. Light, if we give it a chance, can illuminate the darkest places, even the smallest light. So consider Jesus. He is a bright light. Jesus in our world can light up, illuminate the darkness and show us what is really there. But if we choose not to give Jesus time, just as if I went outside, let the dog out, shut the door, came back and then came to let the dog back in, it would still seem really dark out there. But if we allow Jesus time to light up the world around us, we can start to see things as they really are. It's important that we give Jesus that time by opening our scriptures, listening to his teaching, by spending time in prayer. And if we ask him to, Jesus will be our guiding light. Let's listen to this teaching.
The bright lights that lit up the city of Jerusalem were put out one by one as the Feast of Tabernacles came to an end. The week-long celebration was a reminder of the days when God himself led the nation with the fire of his presence out of slavery in Egypt. As things returned to normal, the people were reminded once again that they were a nation in darkness, ruled by strangers. Where was God, and when would the light of his presence return? The crowd grew quiet as Jesus stood to teach. But his first words left them stunned. I am the light of the world. Even though the people were surprised by what he had just said, Jesus continued, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. His claim was bold, backed by the power of God himself. He was the true source of light, and light who spoke the world into being. He was the light that shined into darkness, and darkness could not stop it. I am the light of the world, he said. Adam and Eve once lived in the Garden of Eden, where God's presence brought them daily joy, happiness, and perfect friendship with each other and God. There were no tears, no pain, no sickness, and no death, because it was a place where God lived. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and sin and darkness entered their perfect world. They were driven out of paradise. Because of their sin, they and all of humankind after them would experience shame, hopelessness, fear, and the pain of being separated from the light, from the one who breathed them into life. But God had a plan. He would enter into the dark kingdom to save what was lost. The kingdom of God broke through the darkness and into the world as a tiny baby. When Jesus was born, the brightest star shined in the sky, telling the world that their Savior had come. The light of God and his salvation had finally come. Jesus offered his perfect life to get rid of the curse of sin and death. His resurrection proved the success of his mission. Through Jesus Christ, we are saved and brought out of darkness and into the light of his presence, where there is joy and happiness forever.
We each of us have a choice We can walk in darkness, or we can walk by the light. And I think this is the difference between hopelessness and hope. Even in this world that we live in now, where we see so much trouble, so much strife, for some people it leads to hopelessness. Some people want to bury their head in the sand, embracing, if you like, even more darkness, because they don't want to see what's going on. But if we read it through the lens of Scripture, if we see what's going on through the lens of Scripture, we can see hope. We can see evidence of a God who says, these things will happen before I return and make all things new. Follow the light, live in hope. And I hope as the children go out today and they look at Jesus as being the true light of the world, that they will take note that they need not worry, but that they can follow Jesus to light their path. Well, we're going to pray for the children before they go out, and then we're going to sing them on their way as we lift our praises to the Lord once more. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving Lord, Heavenly Father, true light, we thank you that you guide our path. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed order our steps so that we might walk not in darkness, but in light. Help us, Lord, to have hope, and help us to help each other to see your light shining through. May we be encouragers of one another as we read your word, as we pray together, as we lift our praises to you, that your light would shine strongly out of this place, in our services, in our Sunday school, in all we do. And so we pray for the children. We pray, Lord, that they would be children of light, that you would light their way in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's stand and sing from Mission Praise 1201, Christ be our light. We're going to turn to our psalm reading now, which is number 681 if you're following in Baptist Praise and Worship. We're going to turn to these words from Psalm 67 today. The words will be on the screen as well. I'll read the words that are written in the light type if you all together chime in with the words written in bold. Psalm 67. God be merciful to us and bless us. Look on us with kindness. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Amen. We'll now take up our collection. Let's pray, giving thanks. Loving Lord, our Heavenly Father, all that we have belongs to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our light that we can follow. And so, Lord, we ask that you would lead the way for us as a church to serve you. We trust this to you. We trust ourselves to you. In your name, amen. And now we're going to hear the next portion of John's Gospel. Today we're on chapter 14, starting at verse 15, and Keith is going to read this to us.
This is titled The Promise of the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The world cannot receive him because it cannot see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and is in you. When I go, you will not be left all alone. I will come back to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me, and because I live, you also will live. When that day comes, you will know that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, just as I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. My Father will love those who love me. I too will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, how can it be that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Whoever loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and my Father and I will come to him and live with him. Whoever does not love me does not obey my teaching. And the teaching you've heard is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I've told you this while I'm still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am leaving, but I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for he is greater than I. I have told you this now, before it all happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I cannot talk with you much longer, because the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but the world must know that I love the Father. That is why I do everything as he commands me. Come, let us go from this place. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing now. I think it's one that we're familiar with, but perhaps we've sung it along with a video before, because David said it's a new one to him. So let's do our best, and we're going to sing Come, Lord Jesus, which is number 835 in Mission Praise.
Thank you.
Well, if that was the first time, that was very good. Well, in today's reading, Jesus tells his apostles that he will not leave them as orphans. He knows that this would have been actually their greatest fear at this time. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like to have walked with the Lord and then contemplate not being able to do that again? The pain, well, it must have been unimaginable. It must have been something that was unfathomable. Adam and Eve had to experience it, if you remember. They experienced the fall and the banishment from the Garden of Eden. They went from walking with the Lord on a daily basis to no longer experiencing his personal presence. No one from that day forward until Jesus came were able to walk with the Lord. Even Moses, who communicated regularly with the Lord, only once caught a glimpse of him, and that experience was so awesome that he was physically aglow, if you remember, when he rejoined the Hebrews at the bottom of the mountain. So to experience what it was to walk and talk with the Lord, to eat with the Lord and be told that that would all be coming to an end, it would have been an incredible wrench. It would have been akin to losing a parent that you're close to. Even worse than that. When my grandfather was dying, my mother asked him to give her a sign after he died that he was okay and that there is a heaven. He said to her that he would do that. And you can understand that he would have wanted to do that for her. He loved her. But of course, he wasn't able to do that for her. But if my mother's father wanted to offer her assurance to her from beyond the grave, then how much more would your living Saviour want to do that for you? He would, wouldn't he? And he did it. He did it. The Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, is the gift that he offers to every believer. But before that gift is given, Jesus has another blessing to give to the apostles who he's talking to, those 11 who are left with him. He tells them that before the Spirit of Truth is given, that he will walk among them again. This is what he says. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Yes, the apostles do physically see Jesus, don't they? Along with many other of Jesus' disciples, if you remember. According to Acts, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke with them about the kingdom of God. The first appearance that he has are to the Marys. We can read about this in Matthew chapter 16. And on Mothering Sunday, it's important for us to remember how important the women in his following were to him. These women were incredible women. They were loyal to Jesus right to the very end of his crucifixion. They are the ones who are at the cross when all the other disciples, except for John, have vanished somewhere. And then on the third day, they come to the tomb. Their loyalty is still there. Their emotional ties to Jesus is still there. But they come to tend a dead body. Even so, they hadn't thought it through. How were they going to get past the guard to the tomb? How would they roll away the heavy stone? But their loyalty to Jesus was still there. And yet, we see that when they approach the tomb, with sad hearts, they are shocked. They see that it's open and that there's an angel there. And the angelic messenger says, "He is not here, he is risen." And this was a wonderful message for these women to receive. Out of the gloom, out of the darkness that they were facing, the risen Christ was to emerge. And they are filled with ecstasy and excitement of knowing that Jesus is alive. And then Jesus comes to the women and he says, "Go and tell the apostles that I am alive and that I will meet with them. Tell them that what I said, I will do." Isn't it interesting that it's these women who are the first messengers? And even though it seemed that there were this inner group of 11 apostles who were left, he tells the women to go and let them know. It's a wonderful thing. And then we have the Emmaus Road incident, which you can read about in Mark 16, 12 to 13. And have in mind that this is still the first day that Jesus rose. It's a wonderful day, and it's a day when he reveals himself to be the risen Lord. And he joins with two disciples this time, who have actually left the other disciples, and they're walking away. They walked away from that experience in unbelief that Jesus would come back. They walk away in sadness from Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, Jesus joins them. But as he comes, somehow he's camouflaged. He comes and they don't recognize who he is. He talks with them, and as they reach their destination, their hearts are warmed by this person, their road companion. In he comes, and when the bread is broken, the Bible says, in the breaking of the bread, their eyes are opened, they realized who he was, and he left. And he left them convinced that Christ was risen that day. And so transforming was this moment for them that they walked all the way back to tell the others what had happened. They were invigorated by the truth that Jesus was alive, is alive, and that what the women had said is true. So after Cleopas and his friends reached the disciples in Jerusalem, they were greeted with the news that Jesus has also appeared to Peter. And Peter was convinced that Jesus had risen. So there's this buzz going round. These things that Jesus had said before, they're coming to pass. Jesus is here. He's walking with us already. He's alive. The next visitation, he does what he says he will do to the apostles. He appears to them. He appears to the 11. Jesus fulfilling what he said he would do. And it's an amazing thing. And they're frightened. Other accounts across the Gospels say that they thought perhaps he was a spirit or a ghost because he was there straight into the room with them. And Jesus opened his hands. He displays his wounds on his hands, on his feet, so that the disciples can handle him and inspect them for themselves. They can see that he's not a ghost, a spirit. He even eats with them, and they can't see the food as it goes down to his tummy. He is physically there with them. And then there's the wonderful incident with Thomas, isn't there? Thomas, who was the hard nut to crack. Thomas, who despite what everyone else was saying, wouldn't believe. That's where we get the saying, doubting Thomas, from. But we read in Luke chapter 25 that when the disciples were being told that Jesus was alive, Thomas walked out of the gathering, and then 8 days later, he's back, but he's still unbelieving, and he couldn't explain it. He needed to be convinced. And Thomas said these words, "I will not believe unless I put my finger in his hands and my hand in his side." And let me remind you that when you think Jesus isn't listening, he is. And so then all of a sudden, here he is in the room. And Jesus says, "Hello, Thomas. Where's your finger?" And Thomas realized that Jesus had heard him. Thomas sees him, and he doesn't need to touch him. He doesn't doubt anymore. He falls on his knees, and he worships him. And Jesus says, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?" And this is referring to the great blessing that it will be for those who receive the Spirit of truth. We're not to look down on Thomas. He hadn't received the Spirit of truth yet. The believers in the world afterwards would have that, and so they could believe without seeing. It's not because you're any better than Thomas. It's because you have the gift of the Spirit of truth. And there's more from outside the gospel that we've heard so far. John chapter 21, Jesus appears to the seven apostles back in Galilee. They go on a fishing tutorial and they catch 153 fish and they cook them on the beach. And then the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus appeared to over 500 people. It says, after this, he appeared to more than 500 followers. Many of them were still alive 42 years later. There is no doubt that Jesus came back, that he did what he said he would do, that he walked among those apostles and others doing just what he said he would do. Now, can you imagine if we went directly from the crucifixion to Pentecost? Missing out the resurrection, missing out the ascension. Can you imagine what the church would look like if that happened? The church would be completely different. I believe everything would be spiritualized with no credence given to the redemption of the whole of God's creation if that had happened. Jesus' resurrection enables us to believe that we are to expect our bodies to be redeemed too, and that we are to expect earth itself to be redeemed, the whole of God's creation, the whole of you. And when Jesus says to live, it means that we'll be entirely alive, soul, but also body. All of these things will be redeemed. And the body we will receive will be something better than what we have now. So if you're creaking this morning, those knee joints, hip joints, all of those will be good. If you haven't got much stamina, you will have stamina. If you can't get somewhere quick enough, you will be able to get there quicker than you can imagine. And if you're missing something like flowing locks, one day I will be flicking those flowing locks out of my eyes because Jesus comes to redeem the whole, the soul and the body. Jesus also says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I believe here that he's talking here both about immediately after his crucifixion, talking to his apostles, that, as I said, will grant a hope in the physical resurrection for all believers. But I also believe that he's looking ahead to what is to come when he'll return to reign and then make all things new. He will physically be here with us. He won't leave us alone. He will walk among us. So in chapter 14, Jesus is revealed to us that he is preparing a place for us in heaven. We looked at that last week. That he will send the Spirit of truth to remain always with believers when we're in this in-between stage. And also that there's the personal promise to the apostles that he will walk with them again after the crucifixion. And that there's the promise also to the whole church that he will not leave us as orphans, but will physically himself come back. And the rest of Scripture testifies to that fact as well. And we, all of us, who currently have the Spirit of truth living within us, will all one day know what it is like to walk alongside Jesus. Just think about that for a moment. All of us will know what it will be like to walk alongside Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's my heart's desire. I don't know what I'd say to him. Perhaps I'd ask him why he loves us so much. Perhaps I wouldn't say anything at all. Perhaps I'd just be in his presence, and to walk alongside him would be enough. I don't know. Well, Jesus says to us that this is not a wild, out there fantasy that we have. Jesus says this will be a reality. He will not leave us as orphans. He will prepare a place for us. He'll come for us, and he will be forever, and we will be forever where he is. Until that time, he says, receive the Spirit of truth that will make you hope for this and make you know that it will happen. And every believer should know this to be true, because there is something in your heart that says it's true. It's not wishful thinking, as the world might say, who don't recognize these truths. Jesus said that the world wouldn't understand it. Why? Because they don't have the Spirit of truth living inside them. It is the Spirit of truth that testifies to the truth that Jesus will come again. Without the Spirit of truth, you just have doubting Thomases. He's preparing even now for you to join him. That's what Jesus is doing now. He's preparing even now for you to join him. And there is more to be said on this passage of Scripture about following Jesus' commands and about the battle that rages on between good and evil. And as we move through Jesus' words in John's Gospel in the weeks to come, these will be addressed in full. But to close this morning, I want to say to you to believe what Jesus says, to ask for his Spirit of truth to light your path, that you might understand what Jesus says to be true and experience it for yourself, that you may have certainty in these words that Jesus gives, so that it may come to pass that you can experience also the gift that he gives to his apostles, peace. Because in this passage, the Lord speaks of promises, and God always keeps his promises. And so he says, if you know and understand that about me, then have my peace. My peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am leaving, but I will come back to you. He will come back for you. Have peace about that. Even so, as we wait, we say, come quickly, Lord. Amen. Well, I mentioned in that it's Mothering Sunday today. I should have said Happy Mothering Sunday at the top of the service, shouldn't I? But I'll say it now. Happy Mothering Sunday. And I know that Elaine's made some little bouquets that she'll hand out to the mothers. Do you want to do it during this final hymn, or? Okay, so if you haven't, at the end of the service, and there's a verse in every one. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that, Elaine. And do pick yours up if you haven't had it. They're for all the ladies. And if there's any left over, yeah, Terry, you can have one. Okay. Right. Well, let's lift up our praise to the Lord as we sing, Will Your Anchor Hold? number 549. Well, let's pray together the Lord's Prayer, shall we, before we go into our church meeting. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May God be with you this week and bless all you do in his name. I'm going to give about a 2 minute break for David and Terry to get up here, and for you to make a decision whether you're staying for the meeting or not. There will be tea and coffee if you want to grab a cup now, if you just want to go to the lounge. Okay.
Hello.
mic off. There you go.